Hey everybody, my name is Danny Dumas and this is the Earn Your Title Podcast. Today we are going to be talking about something that every parent who has kids that at some point you think about this, and it's paying for college. And whether we should be paying for college, whether we shouldn't, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about a couple different ways to pay for college, and one of those ways is not paying for college. So this came, I started thinking about this. I was working at the Fire Academy and one of the other instructors has recently retired. And we were talking about, you know, I was asking how retirement's going, and he's got one kid. He was saying he's graduating this year and he's ready to go to college. I said, that's awesome. And in the academy class, we were actually talking about retirements and how they work, pensions and 401ks and all that. Just kind of giving the guys a heads up on this is how the system works. And he said, yeah. I was like, I'm really excited. Me and my wife, before my son was even born, when we found out we were pregnant, we started putting away $300 a month, every month. And now he has like $90,000. And I thought, oh my word, that's awesome. Like, your kid's got 90 grand to go to college. And I started thinking about my son, Levi. Levi's 15, he'll be going to college, or he'll be doing something. He'll be graduating in at least 3 years. And I have saved nothing. I do not have $90 saved for him. And I could feel bad because I haven't done that, but I don't, because it is part of, I don't want to say it's part of the plan to not save money. If money wasn't an object, if money wasn't a problem in my life, if it was unlimited, I'd probably have money set aside to send my son to school. But I want to encourage you right now, or if you're in the spot, just like me, that you haven't saved money for your kid's college, that one, you are not a bad parent. I do not think it is our obligation. I don't think we have a moral, ethical, any obligation to send our kids and pay for a higher education. I think we need to provide a loving home. I think we need to provide their basic physical needs. They need to have plenty of healthy food. We should be encouraging them to get good rest. I think we should be providing opportunities for them to see the world, for them to experience things, to play sports. I think that's what we're supposed to do. Setting aside $90,000 so that they can go to college without having to take out student loans is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but I don't think we have to do that. I don't think it's a mandate. And I think to some extent, it might be, I don't want to say a negative, but for certain kids, knowing that they don't have to invest anything into their higher education allows them to not take it seriously, or to maybe take classes that are not a good investment. Where, you know, that's, you know, we always joke, but like, that's where you see someone with a master's degree in humanity and they're, you know, serving Starbucks. Like, they didn't think about, I'm spending this much money in order to get a job that pays this much, and that is a good investment. And the really dangerous thing is when they go get that whatever environmental studies degree and they don't use it, and now they're $80,000 in debt working at Starbucks. And that's crushing. And you can see it if you're on any social media. You can see the new Gen Z getting out of college going, what happened? I don't understand. I didn't understand. I signed these loans. I went to school. I had a great time. And then I can't get a job. Or the job that I can get in my career field is paying minimum, and I can make more money as a server at a restaurant. And so you just see this struggle of, you know, spending money on college. And I'll talk a little bit about my thoughts on going to college and the importance or the lack of importance of that. But what I wanted to do today is just express three different ways of thinking about saving for college or not saving for college. And maybe I can change the way you think about the money we set aside for our kids to do something. And one of the things that I've decided to do is I had to take care of my financial life before I took care of my kids' financial life. Like, it would be irresponsible for me to set aside extra money for my kids' college savings, but not for my retirement. I only have my kids for 18 years. After that, they can decide what they want to do. Hopefully, they'll stick around and, you know, we can continue to parent and love on them, but they're going to go away. I have to take care of myself and my wife, and so that we have the opportunity to not work until we die. You know, I think that's probably a good goal. And if I forego my retirement, then at some point I might have to go to my kids when I'm in my, you know, late 70s and go, I didn't save anything. Can I come live at your house? So by me, one, for not forgoing saving for them and saving for me, I can eliminate that burden in the future. You know, I can eliminate the burden of, hey, I don't have healthcare in retirement and I need you to take care of me when I can no longer function, as opposed to saying, you know what, I saved up, I can afford an amazing home care nurse that comes by and takes care of me. I can relieve that burden. So that's one mind shift, that it's okay, take care of yourself. If you're not currently investing for retirement, but you are investing for your kids' education, I think you have it skewed a little bit. I think that's a time to be selfish right now so that you don't have to be a burden to your kids in the future. At some point, if you don't have enough money to retire on, you're physically not going to be able to work. And then what are you going to do? You're probably going to rely on your kids. And that's, I don't want to say it's not fair, because life happens. And, you know, if that's what family's for, I guess that's kind of why you have kids. Maybe they can take care of you and help you in your later years, but it's not a necessity. You don't have to do it. You're not a bad person if you decide not to save for your kids. But let's say financially you've been blessed and you do want to save some money for your kids. I don't think it has to be into a fund just for college. I would like to call this fund your life enrichment fund. So you've got 401ks, you've got Roth IRAs, you have a life enrichment fund. So I'm going to run a couple scenarios, and I want to just open your eyes to the possibility of doing something different. And I'm going to do that based on the criteria that us as parents, we want our kids to be happy, successful, independent adults. So that's the idea. And I think when you think of college, that, you know, if they get a good job, they'll be happy. If they get a good job because they have a college degree, they'll be successful. And that leads to all that. And it can. But what if there was something, other things you could do that make them happy, successful, and independent? One of the things that I saw in my life that benefited me greatly was the ability to go out and see the world, and to get a world view as opposed to a local view. It really, I think it made me a more empathetic person. It made me a more well-rounded person. I was able to understand other cultures. So traveling for me was very important. And when I was younger, my parents, we traveled to Florida, and then we drove back from Florida because my grandparents lived in Florida. We'd go there for 2 weeks. Sometimes we'd stop and do things halfway. And I had a great childhood. I loved going, hanging out with my grandparents in Florida. We would go to Tennessee where my aunt and uncle lived, and it was fun. I didn't get to see the world. I didn't travel out of the country other than Canada, but I'm from the Detroit area, so that's like 45 minutes away. I didn't go out and see the world. When I got older, I started doing that, and it really opened my eyes. So as a parent, that's something I wanted for my kids. I wanted my kids to travel and see the world. And so the scenario is, what if we spent the money that we were going to spend and save in college to further enhance our kids' lives as they're growing up, from 5 years old to 10 years old to 15 years old? Like, what if we took some big trips and big experiences? Or what if we had money set aside so they could do unique things? Like, I remember when I was little, I wanted to go to space camp. I would get these magazines, and in the back there would be a brochure for space camp. I just thought that would be so cool. But it was like $2,000 to go for a week. And my parents just, there's no way they could do that. They had four kids. They were doing their best. They gave us a great life. They met all our basic needs, but they didn't have an extra $2,000 to send me to space camp. And that was okay. Like, I'm okay that I didn't go to space camp, but I would really want to. I thought that would be cool. And I think it would have been kind of a life-changing experience. So what if we had a life enrichment fund that had money set aside for that? So what would this look like? So I did some, just some easy math. Let's assume that you have twins. My sisters are twins. It's a unique life. And so you get two kids for the price of one. And on the day they're born, you invest $100 a piece for each of them. So $200 a month. And let's assume that you're making 8%. That's a fairly average number for the S&P 500. It's done somewhere around 8% the last 70 years. So 8%, pretty fair. And you invest that 8% or $200 for five. And we'll go to 5 years, because the first 5 years, it's hard to travel with your kids. If you're a new dad, I encourage you, go and try to do things. It's fun, but it is challenging to get out, especially if you have twins, to get out and really do any big epic adventure. So let's assume you have 5 years where you don't have to dip into this fund to do anything. Well, at the end of the 5 years at 8%, you would have $14,000, almost $15,000. That's cool. So now your kids are 5 years old. Let's say you take half of that and go, you know what? Let's do the Disney trip. I've been to Disney a couple times, and I remember my first time, it was magical. I had so much fun. My parents took us. It was just such a great time. We stayed on the resort. It was a big trip. I remember that. That's a core memory. I had fun. It was worth it. When I went back at 15, it was cool. Not as cool. I'd rather go to Cedar Point and ride roller coasters, but it was cool. So you take your kids, and you just use half that money. You take $7,000. And you go to Disney for a couple days, you can do that trip for $7,000. And you still have the other half. You still have $7,000 and you've got 5 year-olds and you continue to invest. So you do that for another 5 years and now you have $25,000. That's an awesome sum of money. And you take half of that, right? So we're gonna take, I don't know, $10,000 to $12,000 and you go do something epic. You take your kids to Europe and you spend a month and you go to, you know, you start in London and you go to Paris, then you go to Rome, then you go to Zurich, and then you go to Munich, and then you go to Prague, and then you fly home and they get to see the world. And you had the cash to pay for it. You know, you had the cash to just say, hey, let's stay at a really cool resort on the ocean. Let's do this. You've given them this life experience that most kids at 10 years old don't have, and it opens up their mind. It makes their life more enriching. They get to hear different languages and cultures, and it's a cool thing. So you keep going. You do it again, another 5 years. So now they're 15 years old. You've saved $33,000 because you've just used half and kept that half in there, so it kept growing. And you've got a $15,000 vacation, and you rent an RV for the summer. You take a month off, and you drive all the way to California, see everything cool on the way there. Turn around, drive another route back and see everything cool on the way back. You go to Yellowstone and Yosemite and the Grand Tetons and, you know, the Grand Canyon and all the Grands and all the cool stuff. And what a cool experience. You know, they're older. They're the teenage years. They can go, you can trek a little more. You can get out into the woods. Like, and as I'm saying this is stuff that, you know, I would want to do with my kids. It was something I would want to do as a teenager. I think it would have been really cool. What an awesome experience. Well, now they're 15. You know that in 3 years, they're both going to be graduating. So you do this for three more years. You invest that $200 to make 8%. And you have almost $30,000 after 3 years. That's about $15,000 a piece. And now they're going to college. And you said, here's $15,000 to help you get started on your college journey. Now, maybe they buy, you know, a decent used car so they don't have a car payment while they're going through college if they're going to commute. Maybe they pay for the initial year of college. Like, you still had something and they still got some amazing experiences. Or you could reverse that and just say every 5 years, spend all of it and really go out. Or maybe in the in-between years, you're taking little bits of that money and you're going, you know, doing smaller trips, or you're sending them to space camp, or they really get into guitar, so instead of buying the Mexican-made Fender Strat, you buy them the American-made Fender Strat. You know, like, something makes their life bigger and better, and you've invested in them. So you have this 18-year-old, and if you had the money to invest $200 a month, you probably have the money to go on vacation and do some of these things. So it's not like they're totally going to be deprived if you didn't. But they had these big experiences, and a well-traveled, well-rounded person, to me, has a head start on just about everybody else who lived the normal, just, you know, maybe has never left their state. Like, to me, traveling made a big deal. And now for you, it could be something totally different. Like, it could be, I don't know, having nicer things as they're growing up was important. But I think there's a way that you can make a smart, independent, young person by investing that money in them during their early years while they're growing up. Because if you had not done any of that, so maybe you just took your normal 1 week vacation, you go up north camping, you go to the beach, you go to Disney once, you don't have anything big and epic, you could have saved that money and that would have been worth $93,000. So at 18, they both get $45,000 to go to college. Awesome. Now, and I don't want anybody to feel bad one way or the other, whether you have $0 or $45,000 a piece or $100,000 a piece, it's all okay. I just want you to know that there's options. You give it to them, but they go to school and they spend it in 4 years. You know, $45,000 might not make an entire, depending on what school they go to, might not be enough to even pay for all of it. So they're still going to have to do some things. but they didn't get a chance to travel Europe, travel the United States, travel, you know, get on a sailboat and, you know, rent a small sailboat with a captain and drive around all the Caribbean islands. Like, they didn't get that. And I think those things can make kids special, make them different, make them, when they go to a job interview and they say, what life experiences do you have? Because as a, when you're going to get a job at 20, you really don't have a whole lot to offer, but you can say, you know, I've traveled here. I'm, you know, fluent in Spanish, and I can speak a little bit for French because I spent some time there. That's the, you know, as an employer, so I hire people with my current job. I do interviews. That stuff is interesting, and I like to hire interesting people, so I think you can set them up. So that was one way, like a mix. You do a little bit of travel, a little bit of spending, and a little bit of saving, so they do have something when you go in. The second way is just what I talked about. You start on the day they're born, and they're going to have, you know, $45,000 to $100,000. Good. All good. Another way, and this is kind of interesting, and again, I'm not a tax professional or a financial professional, so don't take this as advice. This is just things I've heard. Another thing you could do, and I believe you'd have to have some type of small business that you run and actually make money, is instead of putting it into just a normal, like buying mutual funds, when your kids are roughly 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you can include them in your business, whether that is stuffing envelopes, whatever that is. And when you pay them, if you're paying them a salary, that salary can go into a Roth IRA. And a Roth IRA, if you're not familiar with it, you pay taxes on the money that you put in, but the money that, when it grows tax-free. So if you put in $10,000, you had to have already paid taxes on it, and then it grows. If it grows to $15,000, that extra $5,000 that you earned through interest doesn't get taxed when you take it out, which is kind of cool. And the benefit of this, is, again, check your tax attorney. I'm not a tax professional. Is if after the money's been in there for 5 years, you can withdraw the money that you put in yourself tax-free and penalty-free, where if it's in that five-year mark, you pay penalties to take it out, which is kind of cool because you could start investing, you know, giving them the money they earn from your business into a Roth IRA, and that can grow as an investment account. So if you started when they were five and you went to the 18, so a 13-year investment, again, at 8%, they would have $26,000 in their account, which is cool. The real benefit, though, is because it's been in there for more than 5 years, $15,000 of that is money that they put in, which means it's money they can take out without any penalty and not without paying taxes on it because the money was already taxed. So they could have $15,000 when they turn 18 without any worry about taxing and any of that to put towards college, to buy a car for college. They have options. Now, this is really cool. Let's say they don't do anything with the money and they keep investing $100 a month over and over and over again until they turn 60. So let's say they don't have a 401k, they decided to be self-employed, they didn't do anything else but continue to put $100 a month into that account. When they turn 60, retirement age, they'd have over $1 million. Can you imagine giving your kids the gift of retirement at 60 with $1 million in the bank, assuming they don't do anything else but invest $100 a month from the time they were 5 to the time they were 60? What a powerful tool to give. And then anytime in there, if they needed to remove the money that they've put in, they can do that tax-free. That's a benefit. There's options. And that's what I'm getting at. And obviously, go talk to your financial advisor. They're way better at this stuff than me, but I want you to know that you have options. So what do I do if I decide to, you know, how do I coach my kid? How do I tell them, hey, one, we're not paying for college. The way I did it with my son, because he's going to be the first one to go, is like, Levi, we love you and we're going to support you. You will always have a place to stay. You will always have food on the table. You'll never have to worry about your basic necessities while you're trying to go get a higher education. I'm not going to mandate that you work. I'm not going to mandate any of that as long as you're pursuing something that is taking you somewhere. And it doesn't have to be college. And I think, as you know, I am on the bubble of Gen X and Millennial. My generation, for sure, was told, if you don't go to college, you won't be successful. Like, that was the message. Success equals go to college, get a degree, get a good job. As life has happened, as technology has advanced rapidly, that is changing. I remember, I got an associate's degree as a paramedic. It's called Emergency Medical Technology. Then I went to the fire academy and I got a job. And I had one of my educators tell me years and years later, he goes, Danny, I was actually a little disappointed that you didn't go and do more. He's like, I thought you were smart. I thought you really could have done something, you know, advanced and gone on. And what I appreciate, like, that he thought that, he's like, but I was a little disappointed that you didn't. He's like, but I look back now and I see, like, you were the smarter person. This is an individual who has a master's degree and is no longer using what he has the master's for because it didn't pay. You know, he got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, and now he's in a completely different field that has nothing to do with what his master's was in, and he had to pay all that money for, he might still have student loans, and it didn't pay off. And I probably had $12,000 worth of education between my associate's degree and going through the fire academy, allowed me to get a nearly six-figure job. Like, life has changed. You know, you could go to a coding camp and learn how the coding language and not have to go for a four-year degree. You know, in the computer science world, the thing you learn in your freshman year and the thing you learn in your senior year could change drastically. And then the thing you have to do as your job could be 100% different from what you learned in your freshman year because technology is ramping up so fast. Employers are catching on that maybe you have to have a bachelor's degree to apply is going away. Maybe that is not, maybe you have to have a certificate. Maybe you have to have this or that, or maybe college is not what you want to do because you want to be a welder, you want to be an electrician, you want to be a plumber. You want to make some money right now? Figure out a skilled trade and you can do that. There's money in taking action of physically being able to do things where there's a lot of mental work. A lot of people are doing computer work. But if you've got a kid that just doesn't like school, but is good with his hands, he can be successful or she can be successful without going to college. But let's say your son or daughter wants to go to college. And I'm friends with my son's friends. And we'll talk. And I think I have, a good relationship. And I was talking to a young lady the other day that was hanging out with my son. And she was talking about going to school. And this school, if she went to this school, she could go debt-free. They had enough money for this school. This other school, which is kind of cooler, she'd have to go into debt. And we were able to talk about it. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? She wanted to do art. Well, do you need to go to school to do art? Could you just start doing art right now? I said, well, yeah, maybe. I think I could. You know, so just do that. And I was telling her one of the dangers of debt that I don't think high schoolers really understand is the lack of opportunity when you get done with college. You can go to school and have a great education, take on a bunch of student loans, and get a good education, and maybe even have the ability to get a good job. But you're going to be forced to get a job. Because when you get out and you've got $80,000 sitting there and you're in the hole and that debt becomes due because you can't defer it because you're not in school, you have to take a job. And this might not be the job you want. And I was telling this young lady, I was like, if you don't have debt, maybe there's a job that doesn't pay very good, but it's in an industry or for a company that you would love to work with. And there's room to move. There's room to eventually get exactly what you want. And you're allowed to start at a lower wage because you have options, because you don't have a $600 student loan payment that's just going to sit there for 20 years and just beat you down. So having that option and sharing that with your kids, like, hey, I want you to go to college, but I do not want you to go into debt. And so I actually have a plan, and this is what I'll be teaching my son. If he wants to go to college, this is how he can do it, and he can pay for it in cash and get it done. So these numbers, I understand, depending on where you're listening to in the country, are maybe unrealistic or too realistic, or I'm not including taxes. This is just a theoretical thought experiment. So when your kids are in high school, we have a program called OTEC. OTEC is it's a secondary school you go to, usually your junior, senior year, and it allows you to gather skills that are real life. You can become a mechanic. You can become a medical assistant. You can become a digital marketer, you can become a cook, you can do all these things, and it kind of gives you some skills. So I'm going to encourage my son to go to OTEC and get a skill that is marketable. And now this doesn't have to be his job. This doesn't have to be what he's going to do for the rest of his life. But the benefit of this is when he gets out of high school, he can go get a job, and instead of making minimum wage $8 an hour, he can find a job, maybe in his field, or at least what the thing that he studied at OTEC, that he's making $15 an hour. It's more skilled. He's at a higher level. So he's making $15 an hour. I looked up in Michigan where I live, the average cost for a community college per year is around $4,500. If he has a $15 an hour job, he works 40 hours a week, he can do that in 8 weeks, right? Usually you get 12 weeks off for summer, sometimes a little longer. So in less than the entire summer, he can earn enough money to pay for the community college. And why community college? One, because Math 101 at community college and Math 101 at your local university is like half the cost. So why not take the basics there? The other thing, at the community college, he can continue to get a skill that will maybe get him towards the job he wants in the future, but he can get that skill. And like, so the way it worked for me is I became a EMT, and then I became a paramedic. Those jobs were going to, because my plan, if I wasn't a firefighter, was to go to university. Those jobs took me from $10 an hour up to $15, $18, $19 an hour, so that when I was going to university, the same 40 hours a week was getting me $5 or $6 more an hour, so I actually could pay for the university prices, where before I could only pay for community college prices. So go to community college, get some type of training that will allow you to, one, cover the basics of a university, get English 101, Math 101, all the basic, you know, just general ed classes, get those out of the way for cheap. Get skills that allow you to get a slightly better job that pays better. And then after community college, take a year off. Take a whole year off, and maybe you went from a $15 an hour to a $20 an hour. So you have 52 weeks of working 40 hours a week. You could save $40,000 to $50,000 in 1 year, live at home, live frugally, save 50 grand, and then apply to your university. You have two more years, and you wouldn't have to work. The average... In Michigan, the average four-year tuition is $13,000, $13,716. So somewhere between $12,000 and probably $18,000 is going to be this university you want to go to. And because you took a year off, you don't have to work while you're doing these more advanced classes, these harder, more challenging classes. You've saved up enough money, and you paid for it yourself in cash. And I remember, you know, I work up enough money to pay off my student all the credits. I was not going to fail. I was not going to spend another $500, $1,000 on this class because I just didn't, I'm not going to study. No, I'm studying because it took me all summer to save up enough money so I could pay this. I am not going backwards and taking this class again and paying for it again. It was a huge motivator. And I think I did better because I paid for it. Like, it was my education. I learned more because it was my education. I was paying for it. And I grew up more because it was my education and my money going into the education. And I didn't take them for granted. Like, I worked hard at it. And what an awesome gift to give your young man or woman that has moved from this child to the young adult, to now they're truly adults. They can do what they want, to let them know that you're capable, that you can do it, that you have the ability to put your mind to something, to make a plan, to put your nose to the grindstone, to go to work and make something of yourself. It's not your mommy or your daddy paying for it. I'll go to class if I want to go to class. Maybe I won't. It doesn't cost you anything. Having that cost in your life, I think, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So if you're not saving money for your kids, you're not a bad person. In fact, it could be better. It could benefit their life more. Now, I would highly encourage you to encourage your kid to not take on that student debt. Most of you are shaking your head, yeah, because you're in the mess right now. I've got friends that went to school 30 years ago and are still paying off student loans. I have friends that run multi-million-dollar businesses, didn't go to college. They learned how to sell mortgages. They learned how to sell insurance. They learned how to landscape. Like, it's not needed. Now, if you're going to be an engineer, go to college. You can be a doctor, go to college. You need something very specific, go get the very specific thing. You need a certificate so you can work for Google and coding, do that. And encourage your kids to, like, look around and not be so focused, like, I have to go to college. They don't. There's nothing wrong with you as your parent if your kid decides, I want to go be a welder. Man, the world needs welders. It's important. The world needs firefighters, paramedics, EMTs, accountants. It needs all these things. Let your kid figure out what he wants to do, and then do it as cheaply as possible with zero debt, and then just watch their life flourish. And I'm excited to see what my kids are going to do, because they're going to go to work and they're going to have to do it on their own. I really hope you have enjoyed this message. If you have, you know, just talk, have these conversations with your kid. I ask one thing is if you could leave a review, if you think these are podcasts are good, I would appreciate it. And yeah, just, you know, a 5-star would be awesome. So this has been the Earn Your Title podcast. My name is Danny Dumas, and I will talk to you later.